When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Black Friday, wow, shop, Wayfair now, month long big deals, yeah, these are steals.
70% less money spent.
You can't go wrong, check out this song. Best in decor, Black Friday scores,
garlands and trees.
Saving with ease,
lights for your house, lamps for your spouse.
Save at Wayfair,
on dining chairs, mattresses, two sheets, that are you. Everything home, these things in chrome. Hands of the clock, area roads, fast shipping, wow, Wayfair is how.
Win the season, win the season.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in. It's Game Time Decisions right here on Sports Grid. I'm your host, Kevin Walsh, on a Tuesday. National champion crowned, but we keep it pushing. We have to get to tonight's NBA and college basketball slates, but also set up what happened last night and what's coming with the NFL playoffs on the horizon. All right here on Game Time Decisions on Sports Grid. Great crew stopping by as well. We'll talk to Joe Lisi in 10 minutes' time. Excited just to get his thoughts a little further removed from last night's game. Talk to Tom Vecchio. Get some picks, not just in the NBA, but on the ice. JY will come by with a full card as well. And then we'll hit up Dave Sharapan a little bit later on inside hour number two at around 7:20 here on Sports Grid. But we'll get straight to the action. Forgive the voice. It's been a long run for yours truly. We're ending it out. But there's a lot of good stuff. 34-13, Michigan gets the job done. 5.5-point favorite in this game. They cover every number, including every live number. There were moments in this game where folks were getting Washington as high as 17.5. We saw 15.5s, 7.5s. And these were being covered all game long by the Washington Huskies as this game was sitting 20-13 for a big chunk of it. But eventually, UW was not able to capitalize. A big drive that was really ignited by the passing game for the Michigan Wolverines, capped off by a quorum at the moment, a 12-yard rushing touchdown, what was his first of the game. And all of a sudden now, 27-13, Penix and Washington had to go fast, and instead he was picked off on a fourth down play, nearly a 95-yard pick six. Instead, there was just enough breathing room for Corum to find his second touchdown and make this game 34-13, staying well under the pregame total of 56.5. At some point, some pros probably got as good of a number as 55 on that under, but it was under the whole way. A live 46.5 is, I think, the only number you would have been able to creep through and sneak through, and even those numbers were pretty pricey when they did come available, as we did the live coverage last night on CFT Live. We'll bring our radio audience into the fold. Appreciate all those who are with us here on Sports Grid. Kevin Walsh, Sirius XM, Channel 159. It's Game Time Decisions on a Tuesday night. But when one door closes, another door opens, and we look at next year's national championship odds, and the favorites are the Georgia Bulldogs at plus 350. There you see the reigning champs at 10-1. The Michigan Wolverines, Georgia, and Alabama as the top two teams is really important. So when you talk about the elites of college football, right, and there's a couple of them, but Georgia and Bama certainly fit that description. Both are expected to have the same starting quarterback, Jalen Milroe, for the Crimson Tide, and Georgia with Carson Beck. The thing that you'll also see, and just kind of have to remind yourself, there's a lot of changes. This in Texas is an SEC school. Oregon is a Big Ten school. It's just some of the changes that are coming with the college football landscape, and also how we have nine teams underneath 20-1. That is usually not the reality of it, because only four teams make it, because one loss can ruin your season, because two losses definitely ruins your season. And this is going to be an adjustment here. And is the value further down the board because you can take big tickets into a 12-team field? Or my early read, and we are as early as you can be, is the value at the top of the board, because it's hard to imagine any world where Georgia isn't inside the top 12 teams in the country, and then you're holding a plus 350 ticket on the Bulldogs. There are some better numbers on Georgia if you are interested in them. Michigan, of course, comes with a lot of uncertainty, though, at both quarterback and head coach. Could Harbaugh make the move to the NFL? That is a question that we'll have to wait and see what the answer will be. But speaking of the NFL, we were not here with you on Monday. Again, a great bit of national championship coverage by everyone here at Sports Grid. Excited to be a part of it. But that means we have not talked about the NFL playoff field being set. And here it is. It's beautiful. It absolutely is. On the NFC side of it, the Texans won the South. They will host the Browns. They do so as a slight home underdog. Miami goes to Kansas City. Saturday, Peacock. Cannot wait to hear everybody complain about having to watch that game on Peacock. And then Pittsburgh is a double-digit dog against the Buffalo Bills, largely because they were without their best player in TJ Watt. Baltimore awaits the lowest advancing seed. So while this is presented as a bracket, it is not a certainty that they would play the winner of this game. A lot of upsets could come in, and that would change it, certainly. On the NFC side of it here, Niners have the bye. Tampa Bay held on, beat the Carolina Panthers in a really ugly football game, 9-0. To give themselves the NFC South crown. Eagles atrocious. They lost. The Rams, despite being a dog and trailing for a good bit of that game against the Niners, win with Carson Wentz at the helm against Darnold and San Fran. And what that did is keep them as the sixth seed. They would have fell down to the seven. Green Bay with a win against the Chicago Bears draws the Dallas Cowboys. And for the Rams, and look at the Rams and the Packers. The Packers are a 7.5-point underdog now against Dallas. The Rams, just a 3.5-point dog to the Detroit Lions. You see the value there for the Rams and the fact that Wentz was able to grab that win for them in that game. But we'll talk more about the NFL. Maybe we'll get a couple quick thoughts again from Lisa, who will be here in a couple of moments. But putting our attention towards tonight's action, the NBA slate is not robust, but it is interesting, and there's a couple of scenarios, and one of them that really stands out to me is the matchup between the Dallas Mavericks and the Memphis Grizzlies. A stunning bit of news last night that Ja Morant is going to be out for the remainder of the season. Only played 9 games for the Memphis Grizzlies. It is reflected in Memphis's number tonight against Dallas, catching around 8 points in that basketball game. The total is 235. The Memphis offense has struggled throughout this season. The worst offensive rating in the NBA. Ja was elevating. Ja was lifting that group, and that's a big reason they were 6-3 in the 9 games that he had played. What type of regression do we see? Now, they did play against Phoenix without him and won outright, so you keep that in mind. Your other spots here, Knicks remain unbeaten straight up against the spread with OG Anunoby. Minnesota's laying a number in Orlando, who's so far been able to win both and cover both without Franz Wagner in their lineup. Sacramento lays a big number against the Pistons. And then the Lakers, off of one of their most important wins of the season against the Los Angeles Clippers, now spin it forward against the Raptors, who are in the meat of a West Coast trip here. RJ Barrett, off one of the best scoring performances of his career, certainly as a Raptor, scoring 37 against the Golden State Warriors. College basketball slate is excellent, excellent, excellent tonight here. Ranked situation in the Big 12 with BYU and Baylor. Duke makes the road trip to Pitt, as they're going to try and do what North Carolina did, which was handle Pittsburgh on the road. The number one team in the country is in action in Nebraska. Kentucky against Mizzou. Houston-Iowa State is going to be a game for people to keep their eye on here. The Cyclones right now rank as a top five defense on KenPom, and we can take this right into a quick pick.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early! Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Black Friday, wow, shop Wayfair now. Month-long big deals, yeah, these are steals.
70% less money spent.
You can't go wrong, check out this song. Best gift and core, Black Friday score.
Garlands and trees,
saving with ease.
Lights for your house, lamps for your spouse.
Save at Wayfair.
On dining chairs, mattresses, two sheets that are you. Everything home, these things in chrome. Here's a quick plug, area rugs. Fast shipping, wow, Wayfair is how.
Win the season, win the win the season.
I've been very skeptical of how Houston would translate to the Big 12 on a consistent basis. And would the Houston Cougars be able to run and hide from these great Big 12 teams? And Iowa State so far looks like they're going to be one of the best teams in this conference. But if you look at that Cyclones defense, played a game against a Texas A&M team that profiles very similarly, but not even as well as Houston's offense. They allowed 73. Only once this year has Houston been held under 65.5, and it was 65. Shout out to Townsend. We'll take a team total over for the Cougars. Next, Joe Lisa here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back in Game Time Decisions live on a Tuesday night. I'm Kevin Walsh. I'm joined by the one and only Joe Lisi. Many people calling him Mr. Donovan Edwards these days. Look, Lisi, I got to be honest with you. I feel like after the Rose Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, right? Your voice was hanging on, but you powered through. A little role reversal now. I'm hanging on by a thread here on a Tuesday, but I'm feeling good. How are you?
Oh, it was great last night, Kev. I mean, to hit both of those bets in the first, what was it, the first 8 minutes? I mean, that was,
yeah, it was crazy.
Last I was sitting back, relaxed. The under was a clear winner. We swept the board. We had a great night. I'm telling you, I had fun.
No, you're doing a bit. You didn't sweep the board of Washington. You're just doing a bit. look, let's start with this.
Well, I know you've been doing sweeping the board is I had Edwards from 40 to 80 and two touchdowns.
Correct.
That's really all I care about. I told Carver.
I know.
I don't care who wins after that happened.
Yeah, no, and that I'm telling you, that's why you were seeing the game so clearly with the live under, when to jump in, when to jump out. You were calm as can be. My question to you, again, we got to do a little bit of recap at the end of that game last night. I know you've been talking about it all day on Coast to Coast. The Michigan Wolverines next year, if Harbaugh's gone, if McCarthy's gone, do you still view them as one of the elite, elite programs in college football for just next season, booked right now at the fifth best price to win a title?
No. And again, without McCarthy, Again, whenever you don't have that veteran quarterback, whether he was good or not last night, that matters in terms of a playoff type of environment. Yeah. If you haven't been there before, and with not an interim staff, but without the recognizable name brand in terms of Harbaugh for recruiting and for just players buying in, that's a tough ask. You could do it in season, but there's still growing pains with even though Sharon Moore had the task this year of how many games? Six? I mean, that's still an opportunity where when you do take on the full responsibility, now with the full season and the off season and spring camp and recruiting, there's a lot to get, you know, involved and throughout the course of a regular season, I wouldn't bet on that. So we'll see. I mean, does that mean Michigan can't make the playoff next year? Absolutely not. But I wouldn't bet on them without Harbaugh on the helm.
So let me ask you this, because I'd rather, you know, Joe, just put our eyes towards, because some people today will be betting national championship futures for next year. People like to grab those when a season comes to a close. And you've done a great job explaining how the markets are going to look way different now with a 12-team format. Let's use two teams on opposite ends of the spectrum. Are you more likely to take Georgia today at plus 350 under the guide of, well, they're going to be there, they'll be in the playoff, or do you want a 40-1 Tennessee ticket, just using two SEC schools as an example? Because you know what? I got a real chance to get into the dance with Tennessee now that it's a 12-team format.
Yeah, I would probably take the flyer of the long shot. And again, you know, like Georgia plus 350, depending upon how their schedule falls next year, one game lost, they're probably still going to be there, right? I mean, that's the mindset. So, you know, you might be, it is a tough ask because you should mention Tennessee. I might not take Tennessee. I'd probably take LSU. That's not on that.
Yeah.
You know, but a long shot. Ole Miss is another team that jumps out, right? Jackson Dart coming back. They lose Quinshon Judkins. I probably would want a team that I think can make that run that's not going to be where everybody's going to bet. So I would probably take the lottery ticket first and then see how we fluctuate throughout maybe the course of the regular season on some of the contenders.
Now, as far as the Heisman Trophy goes, and again, you and I can now talk about this award with nothing but smiles moving forward, right? But one of the interesting things is one of my big contentions of why Jaden Daniels, you know, shouldn't have won the award is he wasn't even in the mix for the college football playoff. Forget the fact that LSU still wouldn't have made the playoff in a 12-team format. I'm really not even doing a setup here. But now, I think it really expands the field, Joe, because for Jaden Daniels to win it, he had to have an all-time great statistical season.
Right.
I now wonder if we get a little more MVP type of conversation and a kid whose team finishes ninth, but he's the whole story, holds more weight than, well, he's the number one quarterback on the number one team in the country kind of conversation.
No, you're right. And I was just thinking group of five. Like, if you want to take it a step further, like even just use it this past year, Caden Salter that had Liberty at 12-0, right? Where, you know, if he runs the table and puts up huge per numbers, that's complementary to some of these other Power Five, and they win their conference and they're the 12th seed in the college football playoff. Is the media then going to view that the way we used to back in the day when we had players like Gordy Lockbaum and Joe Dudek in the conversation back in when I was your age or, you know, younger than that? That's, you know, I was a young kid. We were in 1985, Kevin, Chuck Long and Joe Dudek were mentioned in the same type of conversation. There were no odds. You couldn't bet it then, but now you can. So do we take a shot in terms of that type of situation? I would, right? I mean, think about it. If you think about the group of five teams that we're going to have, if a Sun Belt team goes 13-0 and you have a quarterback that throws that like Bailey Zappe did for Western Kentucky, does the media change the narrative? Because to your point, now we're in the college football playoff. I think they
do. Would a Zach Wilson or Grayson McCall, that BYU Coastal Carolina season, right, enter that conversation?
You buy them now. Now you buy. If you're going to hang a 200 shot, we buy it.
Be- because to your point, those teams now, and this is why I think the expanded playoff works, now Liberty football games matter, right?
Right.
Coastal games matter. These G5 schools matter because they're going to be in the playoff. So you just have to accept that for what it is and what it is going to be. I wanted to ask you, though, about kind of the top of this kind of rung here. Ewers, Beck, Milroe are plus 750. Dylan Gabriel's 10-1. They go Will Howard, who landed at Ohio State at 15, with Nico of Tennessee at 15. And the under 20-1 crew is finished off with Nussmeier, Jackson Arnold of Oklahoma, and Jackson Dart at 18-1. How interesting is Nussmeier and just the LSU system? Is that tempting at all at 18-1?
No, he's not. I don't know if they don't get another quarterback before the time comes. Yeah, I mean, think about it. Brian
KJ's
Kelly
100.
Okay. Oh, wait, are you kidding me? Is he really?
He's 100.
I looked it up for you. Nico, though. I like Nico, too. He showed me a lot in that game against Iowa. Kid's got wheels. Mm-hmm. And I like Dylan Gabriel because I think Oregon going to the Big Ten is built more, a little bit more ready with Lanning than maybe Washington without Penix. So I would take a shot on Gabriel at 10-1.
I like the Gabriel shot because I think that Gabriel should be – I think Gabriel has a better chance probably to win it. I think Gabriel – and maybe they open it up, but I would just, on Gabriel, I think that he has a better chance than, honestly, like Carson Beck. I know I was big on Beck this year, but what did I – my thing with Beck was, well, they're the number one team in the country, and again, like they were, and I think Beck can have a nice season there, but now he's not going to statistically have the season Dylan Gabriel will at Oregon. I think that would be very – difficult.
Dylan Gabriel's going to mimic Nick's if he's healthy, right? I mean, maybe not as 80% completion percentage, but you would think with the touchdowns through the air and on the ground.
But who's the Travis Hunter 75, Ollie Gordon 100? Are they even hanging 100? Judkins?
I think we take a shot on Judkins and Gordon. I mean, what if we
they're not even hanging Judkins
yet.
Yeah, you know what? To your point, it's a good catch by you. They're not really hanging a lot of skill.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Well, guys, because I think there's a lot of uncertainty about where.
I think we just eat them up. We take everybody.
I like that. It's a great idea. Lisi, good stuff as always. We'll talk more throughout the season. We'll be right back on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's get into it here. Tom Vecchio joins us now on Game Time Decisions. Tom, excited to have you. We've got a lot of options on the ice tonight, but you are trusting the top guy, which I'm always interested to hear a breakdown, really with anything in the hockey. But you're not going to only bet top guys. So for McDavid to make the card, it probably has to be a great spot. Tell me about it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Keeping things super simple with McDavid for 2+ points. He's been on fire with 16 points in the last 10 games. Matchup against Chicago is awesome, and the Oilers are playing much improved. I'm not going to say they're great, but they are playing significantly better over the last 2 weeks. They're scoring 4 goals per 60 minutes in 5v5 situations. That's the best in the league. And Chicago as a team, they're allowing 3.43 goals in the same situations. That's the third worst in the league over the last 2 weeks. Chicago also banged up. There's no Bedard out there. He's on IR. It's just a super simple spot for McDavid. There's a lot of other good bets tonight. I like Ryan O'Reilly for Nashville to score a goal. Their top line center, it's at plus 165 or what's earlier. You know, good shot volume, first forward line, first power play, super soft matchup against the Ducks, like basically everything we want.
So out of curiosity, do you jump in, because I'm just looking at it here on FanDuel, Geno specials, daily specials, there's a lot of plus money here. Do you ever kind of find some value in these spots, or is it a little difficult to do each and every day?
It's a little tough to do each and every day. I also, again, we've talked about this before. I like players coming off of like bad performances, quote unquote, where, you know, like a bad shooting performance or a player that hasn't scored in a few games. Like, those are my favorite spots. And those, you know, I don't like to take lines that are like predetermined for me. I'd rather just kind of pinpoint the guy that I'm looking for and go from there.
I got to tell you, though, Tom, I got to give the folks at FanDuel a lot of credit here. I mean, the options on the ice are far more robust than I would have had. Monthly specials. And it's how many goals McDavid will score in January. Auston Matthews will score. Most points in the month here. That's pretty remarkable. It's a hat tip from me.
Yeah, the player right now to keep an eye on is going to be Nathan MacKinnon. He's two or three, I think he's two in the league right now in total points, and he's going to be neck and neck with McDavid to win the Art Trophy and the Hart Trophy, excuse me, and the Art Ross for and then most points in the league. So they're going to be fighting until the end. We know that MacKinnon can easily put up 100 points, could, I'd say, touch 130 points this year. It's pretty easy for him.
You're a great person to ask because you follow both the hockey and the NBA closely. The NBA MVP award, narrative, voter fatigue, very real. On the ice, are people like, oh, come on, no, enough with this McDavid, and will there be a desire to give it to MacKinnon, or does it go the other way?
So McDavid's kind of like Ohtani, where it's just like, if he does his thing, he's probably going to win it, but that doesn't mean that there's not value elsewhere, where if we see Colorado finish first in their division, which is a possibility, and MacKinnon has 10 or 15 more points than McDavid, which is also a possibility, it's going to go to MacKinnon. Like, that's just how it's going to happen. So they're kind of similar, I would say, more towards MLB than NBA.
Yeah. All right, let's get over to the NBA then here. We've got Julius Randle as an option for you. Randle has been on a bizarre run that he had one 8-point game, and beyond that, he's averaging basically 35 a night over his last five here. What are you making from the recent Randle run? How are you betting it?
Love Randle. He started off the year super cold, and the shot volume was the same. The minutes were the same, obviously, with Tom Thibodeau as the coach. We know the minutes are going to be the same for a player. An article just came out about him in The Athletic that like really highlighted what he is doing, and he's getting to the rim. He's not settling for these mid-range shots. He's getting to the rim, and the shot volume was the same because he started off the year super cold, and he just kind of tweaked his game, and now he's on fire. Like you said, outside this game against Philly, he's been absolutely unbelievable, averaging 28-8 over the last 10, going up against Portland tonight, obviously a matchup we are not worried about. So Randle going for 35-12 tonight is very – I mean, he can get their points alone, basically. So really simple spot. The Knicks are like 12-point favorites with a 229 over-under, I think it is, tonight. We're going to see a lot of scoring.
Yep. Yeah, no, again, it makes plenty of sense. Like, sometimes you worry, or I do worry, oh, am I late to something? But when a guy has it and he's playing, still a vulnerable team in Portland who just, you know, played an overtime game against the Nets, it certainly lines up. Ja Morant out for the rest of the year on Memphis. Does that create some opportunity for you? They play the Mavs tonight.
Yeah, that's going to Desmond Bain, over 3.5, made threes, -104. I think it's a great line. And we can actually look at what is a really good sample size from earlier this season when Ja was out. And, you know, Desmond Bain's obviously a primary usage player for them. He's averaging 8.99. I'm going to call it 9 3-point attempts per 36 minutes with Ja off the court this season. He's hitting them at a 38% clip, which is awesome. He's going to have to be that, like, main carry on offense for the Grizzlies moving forward. Dallas, they're around 13.3 made threes per game. That's the 13th most in the league. So Bane taking 12 three-pointers, as we've seen earlier this season, 10, 12 three-point attempts is very likely for him, given the fact that they need the scoring to keep up with the Mavericks. So that's a number that's probably going to move as the days and weeks go on without Ja, and I'd rather get in at near even money compared to when it's going to be -130 or something.
I will give the people a similar, for using the same sample size as Tom, breakdown. I am not betting it a bit out of frustration, admittedly, and Tom can relate to this, and I'm sure a lot of you out there can. They played on Sunday against Phoenix without Ja.
Right.
And it's week 18. So I wasn't on the NBA board that day. I wasn't kind of going through it all. But this season, Desmond Bane, on a rebound assist prop of 11.5,
is 19 of them has gone under. It's 73% of the time he's gone under 11 and a half rebounds plus assists. The idea is, no, Ja, elevate the number. No, all he does is shoot when Ja's not around. The offense isn't as good, less assist opportunities. I'm just not betting it because I missed it against Phoenix. And that's a little frustrating for me. Okay. But you can also find a very expensive 12 and a half. But it just, if you want it, you can absolutely go and attack that tonight because I did the same thing as you, Tom. Now you can kind of, because here's the thing with Ja, he was 7-2 over 11 and a half rebounds plus assists. So the book is using the Ja performances, right? And I think you're taking advantage in the same exact way.
Right. We want to look at what Bain is capable of outside of the current state of the line that is posted. And something that's obviously baked in. He is a good three-pointer. It's not like he's just hitting threes out of nowhere. He was doing it for the past few seasons. But I'm looking back at the split of earlier this season, which is a 25-game sample size, which is obviously huge. And 38% from three is awesome. And, if you want to, that's a player that could easily hit 4, 5, 6 per game based on his volume.
Yep. So Tom asked me during the break any NFL playoff takes. And I said, well, Tom had a take that reminded me of something. Because there's a lot of, playoffs get set, there's a lot of markets. And something that I get probably too interested in is the Super Bowl MVP market and the price on anyone that isn't a quarterback. Because when you can, if you think a team gets there, you are going to absolutely destroy a number heading into the Super Bowl.
Right.
And the thing is you use Lamar, right? Lamar is 4-1, the favorite right now for Super Bowl MVP. The Ravens are plus 320, though, to win it. Is that really worth it to bet Lamar at 4-1 when the Ravens are plus 320? I don't think so. Is McCaffrey, this is Tom's breakdown, at now 10-1 to win it, worth it when the Niners are plus 220? I absolutely agree. My question, though, to you, Tom, is how far are you willing to go? Because the 55-1 number on Tyreek Hill, I just can't stop staring at.
Well, there obviously has to be a cutoff because I always look at, part of what I do is look at the path to get there, and the path for the Dolphins is not easy. So if you want to like Micah Parsons is, I think I saw him at 60-1 at some places. Him, a defensive player winning is obviously in the lower end of outcomes. That's not a normal thing that's going to happen. But him having two sacks, a turnover, a pick, a forced fumble, whatever you want to call it, whatever combination, is viable on any game. And if he does that in the Super Bowl, that is game-changing stuff. So if I think they can get there, I would want it to be a truly, truly impactful player like Tyreek. As you're saying, the number is awesome for Tyreek, but the path for the Dolphins to get there, even just to get to the championship game, the AFC championship, is something that I'm not interested in. So there has to be a line somewhere, and it might not be with Tyreek.
And this is really where the balance of this is tough, because the Dolphins are 17-1 to win the Super Bowl. It is not the gap is not 5x of Dolphins win the Super Bowl, Tyreek wins MVP of the Super Bowl. But this is where this stuff at time, and I know I've noticed this the more Tom and I have done stuff together, that you throw a good number around at some point, it's I just got to take the good number. That Tyreek number at 55-1 is completely wrong, but does it matter if it's going to ultimately lose? And that's sometimes the balance with stuff like this, right? Because even if you end up correct and you get this awesome Tyreek Hill 55-1 into the Super Bowl, there isn't really a hedge on it. I mean, I'll bet Tua, and then I'll bet but it gets a little complicated there. But it's a very fun market to play in, Tom, before there are any games that come off the board.
Right. And, I had a Jags future at 35-1, which died in the final weeks of the season. So I don't have a Super Bowl future. So I'm essentially taking McCaffrey as my Super Bowl future for the 49ers, which I think they can obviously win the Super Bowl. And if that game rolls around, McCaffrey's going to be 2-1 to win the MVP.
Yeah, I don't think that is wrong at all. And I wonder, because the idea when Jimmy was on the team, I thought Debo could do it. Does Debo, Ayuk, Fred Warner, all of a sudden, do those guys also factor in? Because they will gladly not give it to Brock Purdy. Tom, great stuff. As always, JY's up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you here on Sports Grid's Game Time Decisions. Coach James Young stepping up and in here on a Tuesday night. JY, how you feeling?
Hey, man, listen. We don't really talk about no Michigan football. We're going to talk about is Juwan Howard going to let Phil Martelli head coach another game? Did you see that? Like, he let Phil Martelli be the head coach of a game. I mean, shout out to Juwan Howard. I mean, I'm slapping people, all that stuff. But, hey, at least they have football, at least for the next couple of weeks.
Wow, shout out to Juwan Howard for slapping people, according to JY, not according to me. According to JY, that's what gets the shout out here. JY, let's do it. Let's start with, where should we start? You want to do the college or the NBA first? It looks like you're hot on this Knicks game, so we'll start there. They're playing the Blazers tonight at the Garden.
You know what? Let's flip it if you don't mind, because it just tipped off. I like Seton Hall tonight, -7.5. Sorry, I just figured out
the 6:30 game.
So, yeah, I like seeing all -7.5. Listen, I went to the Marquette game on Saturday, and you know, obviously knowing Sha and Ryan Whalen really well, they're starting to turn this team around. They're tough defensively. They have three big wins. They're back in the top 25. I think Sha is one of the more underrated coaches in the country. I just think people look at that one run he had over, you know, at St. Peter's. But people don't realize, when last time Seton Hall was good, folks, with Kevin Willard, you know, Shane Holloway was the recruiting coordinator and got all those kids in. They're playing well. Georgetown's going to be better. I know it's 7.5. I just don't think they're going to allow this team to let down. Give me Seton Hall -7.5.
Yeah, I am a little worried about the potential letdown there, JY, but also I don't really even look into Seton Hall games that much because I'm selfish and I can't bet Seton Hall games unless I go back to Queens. So at least JY did the work for everyone else there. We'll re-rack the college in a second, JY. Talk to me about the Knicks here against the Blazers, 4-0 straight up and against the spread since OG Anunoby has joined the fold here. How do you feel about them against Portland?
Well, a couple of things with the Knicks so far. They're 9-1 against the spread at home, you know, and I think what happens, I'm sorry, that's number one. With the Knicks, I'm sorry, they're 12-6, I should say, against the spread when they're at home. And I think what they are they're, when they play bad teams, they win, right? And they're playing great. The offense is flowing better. Yeah, Tom Vecchio had really got into a good description of Julius Randle last segment, which I completely agree with Tom. It's the key, Kevin, is the three-point attempts are down. He's down about three attempts, and I think Julius Randle realizes he can just bully ball people to death. So he's driving the ball to the basket. You have obviously OG and obviously DiVincenzo spacing on the floor. So I do like the Knicks tonight, -12 points. I think they roll them. They see it. Listen, Kevin, they beat bad teams. It's the good teams that they struggle against. I think that Philadelphia game was an outlier. They played well. Philadelphia was terrible. But also two other things, Kevin, really quick with the Knicks, the game. I like Isaiah Hartenstein, not Hartenstein, Stephen A. Smith, you jabroni, to get a double-double at +145 over 2 or 4 games. He's playing the best basketball that he's been with the Knicks. He's also better because he's in that dunk spot, right? But with more three-point volume, he's actually top 5 in the NBA in offensive rebounds per game since Mitchell Robinson got hurt. So now is it Mitchell Robinson's offensive rebounding or is it the way the Knicks play? So look at that. And to correlate what I think about New York, I'm going to go with Brunson over 7.5 assists. I know we talked about it last week. It was a 2-assist game against Philadelphia, but he's gone over 3 out of 4 games. And you got to admit, Kevin, the offense looks different. And they're so reliant on Randall and Brunson, but Brunson to spray the ball around. Plus, with quickly not getting a ton of being gone, Deuce McBride playing better, you're going to get Brunson playing with the second unit. So now it's also Josh Hart. That's also Quentin Grimes. So there's other catch-and-shoot guys they get to play with. Brunson over 7.5 assists tonight.
What's the juice on the Brunson assist prop?
Last time it's probably outrageous. If it was, it wasn't that bad earlier. How bad is it now?
All right, hold on. I'll pull it up. No, it's -110, -115. You're fine.
You don't count, all right. Because there was a game last week. It was 7.5, and it was like -170. Like, so. still be wary
of
that.
Yeah, the night he had two.
The night he had two. Exactly. But the crazy thing about it is Deuce McBride came in and banged like four threes. And the game was a blowout, so this kid played more time. I think tonight he gets his assists. I wouldn't be shocked, folks, he gets assists, five, six assists in the first half. The game should be a blowout.
For me, I'm on the under in this game. The Blazers are 7-2 to the under following a win. They just won in overtime against the Brooklyn Nets. If you look at the Knicks in the four-game sample size since this trade, they are averaging 119.3 points per game, but that would still be underneath what their team total is tonight. And while the Blazers are a bad team, it's more so on the offensive side. They actually rank 19th in defensive rating, which is one spot ahead of the Milwaukee Bucks. But I think I can lean on the Knicks here in a beat-up spot against this bad Portland offense in this four-game run, holding opposing offenses to 100.8 points per game. I think this total's a little too tall here tonight at 229. So now we can flip it back into the college side. JY will also be here at 7:10 to go through the remainder of his picks. That'll tip off a little bit later. And JY, a real test tonight for the Houston Cougars. If you look, shortest line for them all season long in a matchup on the road against Iowa State. Where do you see the battle in some Big 12 action here?
You know, listen, Iowa State is always traditionally a tough team at home. And listen, this is why Houston went into the Big 12 to go ahead and play top competition. But if you look closely at their record, Iowa State, although they've played well, two ranked opponents they've played, Texas A&M, they lost by four. Oklahoma, they lost by eight. So where's the really good win that they've had this year? You want to say Iowa by 25? I don't think Iowa. DePaul, no. Houston has is battle-tested, and they make a statement. This game, ready, K-Dub, could be a rock fight with these two teams, particularly defensively slow-paced. I'm going to take Houston on the money line that they come out with a really tough win against Iowa State.
I am taking a team total over for Houston here. I hope this is not a repeat of what happened when JY and I did a breakdown of Purdue Maryland, and he laid the number with Purdue. I took a team total. Purdue covered, but no team total. I have no problem if Houston wins the game. Not that I'm rooting against JY. It would just be nice for us to both get across the finish line here in this spot. Part of the reason I'm not looking to, it's very similar to the Purdue thing. I am not overly anxious, JY, to money line or lay a number short on the road with the way some of the early college basketball results have been pouring in. I still have some hesitation here, but I'll tell you, this is awesome tonight. No matter what happens for Houston, look, if they lose, there will be this much of me that is very tempted to be like, see, they're terrible, they're terrible. But they're not terrible. But this is the type of number that didn't really exist for them playing in the American. Right? They'd go on the road and they'd still lay 7-8 double digits in some of those games, right? Depending on who the matchups were. This is a game tonight where they're going to be battle tested big time. And there's plenty of spots. You're going to see Houston as a dog at Kansas, at Baylor, right? We'll see how BYU looks tonight against Baylor. We'll talk about that game in a little bit. There's going to be spots for Houston, JY, where they're catching points here. So that's what I'm really, really excited about, is to watch Houston be tested now throughout regular season play.
And I agree with you, Kevin. And I think here's the thing about Houston. When we got to the tournament, there was always talk of they haven't played a good game since, you know, I don't know, December, right? Unless they played Memphis, which Memphis would give them, they would give them a war. I think one game at Memphis last year, I think went to overtime, was an outstanding game. I think it was a CBS game, if I'm not mistaken. But they're going into the best league in college basketball, in my opinion, top to bottom in the Big 12. They're going to be battle-tested, folks. So if you start to see Houston really playing well, you're going to see their odds start to drop during the year, because here's what's going to happen. When they get to the NCAA tournament, no one's going to look at them and say, well, they haven't played anybody good besides Memphis. They're going to be battle-tested night after night. Mm-hmm. I think Kelvin Sampson is one of the best coaches in the country. It's funny, Jeff Goodman put his Mount Rushmore list of current coaches. I think Izzo was on, and Bill Self. I forget the other two. And I actually sat there, I was like, is Kelvin Sampson right now one of the four best coaches in college basketball? Kevin, I think he actually is.
Well, I think this is the year, JY, that we'll find out. Not to give a cop-out, but again, and it's, look, Mark Few, obviously, right, dominated the WCC. It's fine. But the reality is, when you are that, not even a big fish in a small pond, I mean, they're a shark. Houston playing in the American. You now go to the Big 12, which is a great league. Looks like it's going to be really awesome this year. You know, the difference, I know you made the joke at the top, it's not college football season anymore. But the reason that Houston and Cincinnati and BYU are playing Big 12 basketball is so their football programs could play Big 12 football. Well, a lot of those teams really struggled. Houston and Cincinnati and BYU, those were step-ups that they couldn't necessarily handle. But while that was going on, you know, Kansas basketball's like, you got to be kidding me, man, right? Baylor basketball's like, now hold on. And we didn't really think this out, fellas. These teams are adapting much better. So I think that's good. Well, let's go to the SEC, JY. One of my favorite teams to watch in college basketball this season has been the Kentucky Wildcats. They'll play Mizzou tonight here in SEC play. How do you feel?
Listen, Kevin. You know, we've been big fans of Kyle, and this is a big year for Kyle. I talked to obviously Jeff Goodman about this last week. They're 9-1 at home, right? They had a really gutsy win at Florida, an underrated Florida team, right? Cal's got these guys playing as well as I've seen Kentucky play in a long time. They're top 10. Obviously, we could talk about the babies. We could talk about all of them. But Missouri is also losers of four in the last five games. I think Kentucky's the best team in the SEC. And Kevin, I've come all the way around, and I said, well, Cal's got to get to the second weekend. He's got to get to the Sweet 16. Kevin, this team could get to the Final Four. Like, this team is so loaded. And the crazy thing is, maybe he's a little bit overrated. Like, DJ Wagner hasn't even taken off yet. Like, if he starts to take off, and he's like, what, Kevin, the third, fourth best guard on that roster? And then, obviously, the play of Bradshaw has been an absolute monster down below. I'm going to lay the points, minus the 12.5. I think they roll Missouri. Missouri is not good on the road. They barely play on the road. And they're going into a Kentucky team that's now top 10. In the country, good luck. Give me the Wildcats minus the points.
I'm interested, though, JY. I worry a little about the spot just because that win at Florida, that was a great win. I mean, that was an awesome, awesome win for this Kentucky team here. And they've had a few, right? The North Carolina game. But to go on the road, trail by, I believe, 7 or 8 points it was at half in that game, and eke out a close one like that. Look, I know, but this is college basketball. It's like, with the number 16 beating unranked team, they were a 3.5-point dog against that. And that's a nice Florida Gators team. Shout out Walter Clayton Jr., former Gale on that team. It was just a spot, man, where if they lost, nobody would have held it against them. And to come out and get that win, but that's tough. And we've seen them at home have some vulnerability a little bit, JY. It's a big ticket. It's a big number. But we've also seen Mizzou be outclassed this season, right? Illinois, who can profile a little similarly to Kentucky. I think you mentioned the key guy in DJ Wagner. He was great in the game against Florida. How does he start to come on, coaches? I think a big thing to watch.
That is, because when you look at that roster and you look at those kids that Cal can come on, and you're bringing a guy like Dillingham off the bench, like if DJ could be that guy, like you got guys that can straight up get buckets with Reeves and Dillingham and Shepard, and the DJ comes along, and then Bradshaw in the middle. I'm telling you, folks, this Kentucky team is something. You better enjoy it. They're going to be like Haley's Comet, and they could actually make a run to the Final Four.
All right, great stuff. We'll talk to Coach in a little bit here. Get you a best bet up on the other side of the break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I mean, folks, we're working against it. Just hit a big time, I'm being honest, I hit a big time sneeze right before he came back in. And I'm trying to regroup. What do we got to do for the people here? Here's what we got to do. I'll give you the NBA best bet. But I'm actually just going to call an audible because the college stuff tips at 7. So I want to give you the college stuff that'll tip because there's two of them. And that is Houston and the team total over 65.5. We talked about this in the quick pick and we hit it quickly there with JY. But just to kind of re-rack and re-explain, Houston, I know they're an incredible defense who plays very slow, and that is true. But they still have the 10th best offensive efficiency in college basketball. That's why they rank top on KenPom. And if you look for Texas A&M, who played Iowa State, Texas A&M is 18th on offense and is just, and is actually a tick slower in tempo. They're basically the same exact tempo to teams. And I, and Texas A&M went well through a team total in that basketball game, scoring 73. So Houston, who plays at the same pace and is a little bit better offensively tonight, can get through it. Now, the difference is A&M was playing on a neutral site game down in Florida, and this tonight is at Iowa State, and the Cyclones can certainly button it up and lock it at home. But those are the reasons why I tonight don't feel confident betting a -2.5 on Houston, because I think Iowa State can get there. But I don't know if they can truly bottle up this Cougars team that much. This number, if it's going to lose, it's going to lose close. Houston's going to get, I think, a floor tonight of 60 points. The lowest number they've scored all year long, once, 65, and it was against Towson. Shout out Towson. But the point is, this team is so talented, it's very hard to keep them underneath a number. The other Big 12 bet I took was a +5 ticket on Texas. I know it's road ranked. What it really has to do with is the spot. Cincinnati, off of an amazing win against BYU, catching double digits on the road. Texas, off of a tough loss at home, laying a number to Tech. I think it's a tick too high, this number here. Cincy tonight, if they were laying 1-2 points, it's probably a stay away. But getting a -115 on a +5 ticket here for Texas was worth it. We'll get to the NBA best bet. Reset the card at the top of the hour in less than a minute.